I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning. Welcome in Sports Radio 92.9 The Game Midday Show with Andy and Randy with you here on a Trillville Thursday.
Trill.
Thank you so much for being with us. Beautiful Thursday morning. Good morning to you, Randy. How are you?
What's happening, man? Oh, good. As we are getting closer and closer to the weekend, man, and it feels good to be up in the house. But I'm going to say this. They should ban Miatas.
Okay.
They should ban Miatas or put them in their own, put them in a bike lane or something. All right? Taking up all, it was like six of them taking up parking spaces today. And you know, when you're driving, you see that space like, oh, hell, because you know, I was bragging yesterday. Because
right, right.
I've been right out front 3 days in a row.
Right. Because you can't see a Miata until you get right
dude,
up
I'm
to
like,
it.
I'm like, oh, hell no, not 4 days in a row. And damn it, they're going to let little ass box car go down a little further. It was like three of them. On the red deck this morning, man. And so they need to give them, like, put their little ass somewhere. And you know what? Put them in, because they told they have a small boat, too, and they could fit in the parking space.
They have to share it.
How about that?
Yeah. If you drive a Miata, you have to find another person that drives a Miata and share the space.
Yeah, man. Get the hell out of here with that little ass car.
Do you get to brag that you have a convertible if you have a Miata?
Yes.
You do?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, it is.
Like, my wife had a Miata before we made it official, whatever.
Yeah.
I said, hey, I would never get in it, dude. Because
how could you?
That's what I'm saying. Like,
you'd have to get in again, through the top.
I'm not saying nothing against men who drive Miatas. Nothing at all. So, I've already been called judging somebody early this morning. But it is weird to
dudes
have
that drive Miatas definitely drink.
Drink with their Yeti with a straw.
Yeah.
Yes, they do. And have it in the cup holder.
They definitely have that. What is it? The Stanley Cup with a straw. 100%.
See, I wouldn't.
Although I bet the Stanley Cup doesn't
fit. With a cooler
fit.
White Claw in the back?
Yeah, probably.
With a cooler. See, this is not me. I'm just laughing.
On the way to the store for some Impossible Burgers.
Yes.
But I bet the Stanley Cup doesn't fit in the Miata cup holder.
Probably not.
Yeah. These things are awkward.
But yeah, get them out of here, man. Get them out of here.
Get out of here. All right. So we lost all of our listeners listening in Miatas this morning. Hopefully I didn't cut too deep into our audience. Anyway, thanks for the rest of you for being with us. Lots to get to here on a Trillville Thursday, as always. Smoke and Joe Patrick in the final hour as we continue to get ready for the Falcons' trip to Berlin. I believe they'll leave later on today to head over there to take on the Indianapolis Colts for the early, early game on Sunday, 9:30 kickoff right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. I guess the kickoff's not that early.
Yeah, but
I just have early on my mind because the Wade Ford tailgate is going to start at 5:30.
Say
on
what
Sunday
time
morning.
Again? Say what? Say 5:30.
5:30.
Last time you been? You've never worked at 5:30 in the morning, have you?
I have. I used to do a show that started at 5:30.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Which was a long time ago.
Yeah.
Here we are.
Man,
full circle.
But you can get
back
it.
To my roots.
I mean, but that's what I'm saying. Like, but yet. It's a kind of centered show around the Falcons in the pregame. You got Joe Patrick.
Yeah, just
you can come here hungover.
Joe talk. Oh, sure.
Yeah, you can come in this thing hungover, man.
I'm batting 1,000 on Wade Ford tailgate.
There you go. So yeah, man. That's always it should
except
be.
For, not the Monday one. The Monday one I was good.
Now you're not worried about parking in the neighborhood now because it's still gonna be dark.
Oh,
so you're worried about like getting like hemmed up or nothing? Are you?
That's a good point. Yeah. I'll bring my bat.
Yeah, bring the bat with you, though. I don't want you getting hemmed up over there.
I don't
want
to get hemmed up.
Yeah, no.
Terrible way to start your Sunday off.
Yeah.
Late to the broadcast. What happened?
Yeah, Andy got hemmed up out there, man. Over there.
Nate Dogg was nowhere to be found.
Yeah.
Help me out. Can't believe they're taking Andy's wealth.
Yep, they got him.
All right. So we'll talk to Joe about that. We'll keep getting ready for a college football Saturday, which is going to be a lot of fun. Some breaking news. We're not going to spend a ton of time on it, but breaking news, the Atlanta United brought back Tata Martino.
Second time around.
Sure, I love it. If it works, it works. That's great.
Right.
I mean, I don't know.
Yeah.
I'll say this. I've heard of him.
Yeah. The second time around.
Last couple hires they made, I was like, all right.
Who the hell is this
everybody
guy?
Tells me they're great. And I guess I knew Gonzalo Pineda because he had been with the Sounders for so long. But, I don't know. He did a good job the first time.
He damn sure did.
Hope it. Didn't work great with Miguel Almiron last year. But
well, maybe he needed Tata back.
Maybe he
just needed Tata back. But, yeah, I saw I think we talked to Mike last week, and I was like, Tata?
Yeah.
And, you know, Mike was saying he didn't hear anything. So, obviously, the news today is that, he's a guy that can figure the hell out what's going on. We had a call earlier this week. It's like, I don't know. We don't know what's going to happen with it or how they can get back to winning their winning ways. I mean, it was just one of those things. They came in like a damn rocket.
Yeah.
Just fire.
Yeah, it was great.
Yeah.
They changed the game in MLS, everyone said. And then it turns out, no, they just had a good manager and some good players.
Yep.
Which is usually how you win in all professional sports, whether it's the MLS or otherwise. Yeah, Arthur Blank's had to hire a lot of new coaches over the last handful of years.
Yeah, man.
Between Atlanta United and the Atlanta Falcons. And, yeah, hopefully we're not having that conversation again at the end of this Falcons season. Beating the Colts on Sunday would be a good step in the right direction.
Yeah, I'm sure
towards
would.
Trying to avoid that.
Yeah. I mean, Colts are a good football team.
They are a good,
football team who, you know, got a quarterback who's, you know, playing his ass off, man. He looked like Daniel Jones last week, the guy that we've grown to love and criticize. But, I mean, they got a top-flight tailback who everything runs through him in that offensive line.
Yeah, and the Steelers did a great job last week of taking Jonathan Taylor away. I mean, that was pretty clearly their plan was, let's see if Daniel Jones can beat us if we can bottle up this run game. The Steelers' defense has not been traditional Steelers' defense this year at all. But they looked like it on Sunday against Indianapolis. They were getting after it. I mean, T.J. Watt was awesome. I went back and watched some of that game because I was just like, what happened to the Colts as well as they've been playing? How'd that happen? I mean, the Steelers defense did it to them.
Yeah.
Like, Daniel Jones made a couple bad decisions. He made a bad pick late. But most of those turnovers were tip passes or he's getting hit in the face while he's throwing the ball. It was some fumbles that weren't his fault. Like, it was just a really great performance by the Steelers defense. Most specifically, the Steelers linebackers. Like, they played their asses off in that game.
Yes, they did.
Which, you know, as I'm watching it and thinking about Sunday, I'm like, wow, all right. That's the spot right now where we're probably least comfortable with the Falcons.
Yep.
They're going to be picking on 40.
It's Copcat League.
Tyler Warren, they need to have an answer for that
because,
young man.
Because what was Pittsburgh's answer? Pittsburgh said, here, Jalen.
Yeah, exactly.
Jalen, you got him.
Exactly.
Yeah, they don't have that. They don't have, unless you want to maybe put A.J. Terrell on him maybe or something like that. And you're absolutely correct because you're looking at it from a standpoint of, you know, they're going to, let me try to think. Yeah, because I can see Tyler Warren catching nothing but drag routes.
Yeah.
Nothing but drag routes.
Right, just,
just right in front of him.
Exactly.
Just right in front of him. Mm-hmm. And so, but the biggest.
Because he's fast,
too. Yes.
Like,
but the ultimate thing they got to do, though, is you're talking about the Falcons, it's something that we talked about last week going up to New England. They got to stop the run. This is all about, you know, trying to corral Jonathan Taylor because, as we mentioned on Tuesday, this dude can take he has home run ability, you know. And so if you're able to do that, their offensive line is playing really, really good. They're really, really good.
And they got whipped on Sunday, though.
And that was the thing about it was is that that's how you beat them. You've got to have an opportunity. Pittsburgh, it seemed like they took that thing personal.
They did.
You know, and Big Cam and those boys were playing on the other side of the line of scrimmage. And that's how you beat and defeat running teams. That's why the Falcons are getting their ass whooped because teams are playing on the other side of the football. And so when you look at where Pittsburgh is, they got a lot more girth than the Falcons do up front also. And so it's just going to be one of those things where eventually you're just going to have to, my man Hughes say, see a man whoop a man. You're going to just have to win these battles up front. And you're talking about Dorlis, who's really playing good, man. He really, really is. And I think you're going to get Zach Harrison back this game.
That'd be very, very,
you know, and along with Rook and these guys. So it's going to be up to those guys up front to be able to hold the blocks, allow Caden and whoever is at the other linebacker where it might be 40. He's, in my opinion, he's a better run player than a pass player. That ain't saying a lot. But at the same time, they got to figure out a way to put this game in Daniel Jones' hands. Now, as soon as I say that, Daniel Jones coming out throw five damn touchdowns.
Right, because that's the thing.
Yeah.
Like, he's been really good
this
year.
He's been solid.
And I think one of the things that
– I'll take that, though.
Me too.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the gamble you have to take. I mean, if you're going to try to take something away from him, that's what the Steelers did, and it worked.
Yeah.
Right? Now, it worked not only because they took Jonathan Taylor away, but because they made Daniel Jones so uncomfortable and sped him up, and he made some bad decisions. They were getting their hands up on everything. Like, it was just a really impressive performance by the Steelers front seven last Sunday. And again, that's not a front seven that's been great this year. They played like it last weekend, but I think the Falcons, not man for man, but I think edge rushers and the guys in the middle on the D-line are pretty good, pretty comparable to some of what Pittsburgh has. Again, they have T.J. Watt. So I'm not going to go too far and say that the Falcons have what they have because they don't.
Right.
But we've seen, and especially when Jalen Walker plays, and especially when Jalen Walker and Zach Harrison play,
better.
The Falcons have the ability to make the quarterback really uncomfortable.
Yeah.
But Daniel Jones, I mean, if he's back there, I mean, Alec Pierce is a good receiver.
Mm-hmm.
Michael Pittman's a really good receiver.
Mm-hmm.
Josh Downs is a sneaky little fast.
That dude like you were talking about, yeah, the guy just, kid from last week.
He just
New
seems
England.
Like he's always open, right. And you got to account for him. And then, you know, we talked about it, and I know we both love watching him last year, and he's off to a great start this year. Rookie tight end Tyler Warren, like, that guy seems – that's the guy that I'm worried about on Sunday.
He's poised, man. Yeah. He is a tough, he's gritty, really good hands, fast as hell. The dude
they can use him in a lot of ways.
He can pick him up, and that's the biggest thing is his versatility, Bunk. I mean, they handed him the damn ball.
Yeah.
You know, and so the versatility that he has, when you have a player like him or Brock Bowers, they're like you find the matchup, the mismatches. I'm pretty sure they're going to find every which way they can to get him on that second linebacker.
Yep.
And so the Falcons, this is one of those things where, you know, you got to get hands on them early. You got to make them, as they want to say, reroute them a little bit, throw off the timing in some of his routes. Now, you know, you got to do it at a certain point on the down and distance, but. You know, you got to figure out a way to slow this offense down, give yourself an opportunity. The offense can help. The offense can help if they can find ways to sustain drives, mainly winning on first down, giving yourself a chance, giving Zach Robinson a chance to be able to open up his playbook a little bit, not having it. Because, again, the 3rd-and-9 box on the call sheet is very, very small. It really, really is. So you got to figure out a way to utilize – more of your weapons. Michael Penix has got to be more decisive, quicker with his reads, and maybe his ability to maybe just take off a couple of times and get some of those dirty third downs. But, yeah, this is going to be a tall task for the Falcons going over there.
Yeah, offense, I mean, like we obviously spent a lot of time talking about what the defense needs to do. Hopefully they can carry over some of the performance that they had in the second half against New England.
Hopefully.
Felt like the play at the end where the strip sack and Pierce picks it up and gets him into the red zone on the fumble recovery. Felt like it sparked him a little bit, like got a little bit of confidence going.
Right.
Hopefully that can carry over Sunday. But they win that game if the offense plays better.
Yep.
Like, simple as that.
Yep.
I know that a lot of the focus is on the missed kick and all that, but you know, there was so many drives that just resulted in nothing in that football game. There was some really good drives too, but it seemed like boom or bust. I mean, it was either three and out or a sustained drive. Got to find a way to be more consistent.
You got to
drive in, drive out. And like we've talked about all week and all season, like it starts on first down. Like if Bijan Robinson, you can't hand the ball to Bijan Robinson and get positive yards on first down in the run game.
You're up the creek.
Yeah.
You're up the creek.
Everything else after that suffers. So you have to find a way to make that work on Sunday against the Colts. Otherwise, the offense is probably going to look like it has the last 3 weeks, and you're going to have a really hard time winning.
Yep, and that is, I mean, and then you, I mean, we were talking about yesterday, why take y'all, go all the way to get your ass kicked?
Yeah, it's a
long damn flight, and that's early as hell for us to be up trying to root y'all on and everything like that. But, yeah, you got to figure out, and I know we do more of our keys and stuff tomorrow, you got to figure out how to win on first down, Paul. You got to win on first downs on both sides of the ball. All right, because as great as Shane and this offense for the Colts is, I think, don't they lead the league in passing and all? I think they do. Mm-hmm. One league, you got to.
And I guess I keep hearing people say this. The Falcons are the number one pass defense.
Well, how about you can run on their ass?
They're the 31st run
defense. Yeah, you can run on them. So why the hell wouldn't they be?
I know.
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah,
there's always a little context to some of that stuff.
Yeah, but yeah. Just like.
But if you ignore the context and just say the positive thing.
I mean.
Then people like that.
That's fine. That's fine with me. But I promise you this, you're going to get a whole lot of Jonathan Taylor.
Uh-huh.
Inside, outside, inside, outside.
Yeah, I want them to have to throw the ball on Sunday.
Yeah. Exactly. I'll take my chances with Daniel Jones dropping back than I would Jonathan Taylor going forward.
Agreed, 100%. All right, first hour of the show brought to you by Bobby Jones Golf Course Atlanta. Golf open to everyone. Visit BobbyJonesGC.com. We'll come back, get you caught up on everything that's trending this morning. Little bit of what Raheem Morris had to say yesterday. Atlanta United makes a hire. The Braves made some changes to their coaching staff as well. We'll tell you about that next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Look at I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Top trending headlines of the day.
Oh my God.
Brought to you by Zero Res. Book an appointment today with Zero Res, Atlanta's best carpet cleaning service.
You know, obviously, Big Bird, you know, he'll be week to week, like I told these guys today. You know, so he'll miss this week. Like, we'll probably announce that tomorrow and do some of those different things. I know David's probably mad at me right now because we didn't put it out.
That's Falcons head coach Raheem Morris from Wednesday with Dukes and Bell, talking about some of the injuries that the team is dealing with, specifically on the offensive line with Bergeron and Lindstrom. Bergeron not playing Sunday.
No.
Lindstrom hopefully will, and that gets back to something we were talking about in the first segment about, you know, this is the key to every game anyway, but especially for this team and especially what we've seen the last 3 weeks. I mean, the offensive line has to find a way to get the run game going better earlier and more often and on first down, and if they don't, then it's just that's Falcons head coach Raheem Morris from Wednesday with Dukes and Bell talking about some of the injuries that the team is dealing with, specifically on the offensive line with Bergeron and Lindstrom. Bergeron not playing Sunday.
No.
Lindstrom hopefully will, and that gets back to something we were talking about in the first segment about, you know, this is the key to every game anyway, but especially for this team and especially what we've seen the last 3 weeks. I mean, the offensive line has to find a way to get the run game going better earlier and more often and on first down. And if they don't, then it's just going to be a struggle. It's going to be a struggle anyway, because it's the NFL and games are tight and teams are equal and all that kind of stuff. But like, if you can't do the thing that you're supposed to be best at,
you're out of luck.
It's tough sledding, man.
Yeah. But I mean, that also goes back into, you know, having to rely on your quarterback to win football games then. You know, you still have a relatively young quarterback, but I mean, that's what the quarterback, you know, in the NFL is. You know, they pay you all the money to win games. You know, I know that, you know, stuff has to go right around you and things. That's what's going on. I know we talked to Stink yesterday about Green Bay and Jordan Love and his, but their offensive line is awful. Mm-hmm. And so you have those type of things. I mean, as great as your quarterback is, they can't protect them. Then, you know, it doesn't really matter. But, you know, Michael's going through it, and you mentioned it on last week before the game against New England. He has played good. I thought Michael was good. He had some mistakes.
Yeah.
But I thought he was good.
He was, I don't know. It's weird. Like, he was mostly good.
Yeah.
But then there were moments of real bad. Because, again, I don't know if it's because he's left-handed or what, but those DBs can't catch his passes, which is, thank God.
How the ball spins.
There's about five to seven more interceptions.
Yes.
And Christian Gonzalez should have had one last week. Like, every week there's a couple, and a couple of them have been pick sixes.
Yes.
Like, there was one against, who was it? Miami, I think. And I mean, there's been a few. It's like, oh, thank God. All right.
Yeah.
Live to play another day or another down. But, some of the throws are really good. There's some real bad throws in there though.
And then you're at a point where you're like, oh no! He's gonna have to make some throws. He's gonna have to make some throws this game. We talked, you know, as far as, you know, the Colts and their defense. It's a solid unit, man. This is solid. They're scrappy. Obviously, we know that they got a big addition in Sauce Gardner, who has clear concussion protocol and will play in this game.
Got a new number.
Yeah,
old number.
I don't know what he. I want to know how much he came up off that number, man.
Yeah, because he's number one, right?
Yeah.
And the wide receiver Josh Downs, had been wearing number. He literally wore number one.
Yes.
Scored a touchdown on Sunday.
Yep.
In that, now he's number two.
Yeah, man.
So,
but no, I mean, they got good dudes, man. Buckner, longtime vet. He's questionable for this game, Bunk.
Okay.
You got Latte.
Yeah, Latu.
Yeah, the Latu, thank
we
you.
We talked a lot about him coming
Damn
out of
sure
UCLA.
Did. Zaire Franklin, but Zaire Franklin controls it all.
Zaire Franklin's so good.
He controls the whole defense, man. He is a daggone wrecking crew. He's a one-man wrecking crew who can cover, play the run, shed blocks. I mean, this dude is the ultimate, like, middle linebacker in a defense.
Grover Stewart.
He's a very good player.
Albany State.
Yeah.
Shout out.
Yeah, man. But, I mean, they're a solid unit, Andy. That, you know, that I think you can maybe make plays in the passing game against them, maybe. It's a possibility.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you're going to have to run the football if you're going to have success if you're the Falcons.
Yeah, now they have Sauce Gardner. You know how that is when a big player like that changes teams.
Yeah.
You want to make a big splash.
Yeah, and this is the first week with the team. Lou Amarano. Oh, God, why do I say his name wrong?
It's a hard one.
It is. But, anyways, Lou, Sweet Lou, I'll call him that. Sweet Lou is going to have to, you know, is going to be – he's a man-to-man guy, though. That's the thing about it. That's what his defense, a lot of it is based off of. Not a big pressure-packed defense, but I think that, you know, he's new here. The guy who the Falcons like to throw the ball to had three touchdowns last week. Go guard him.
Yeah, against a better corner.
Yeah.
Here's Shane Steichen, actually, the head coach of the Colts, talking about the Sauce Gardner addition.
And like Ballard, the way they plan, talking about the GM for the Colts, how good they're playing. He's like, I can throw these two first round picks. Because he's been on hot seat for 3 years.
I mean, if there's any more like confidence you could put behind your quarterback,
yes,
is to be like, we believe in you, we're trading away our first round picks.
Yes.
Daniel Jones is like,
all right, cool,
great. That's that's $100 million coming his way this summer.
You think we can start on this contract?
Yeah, let's get going.
Yeah, because he's making what is he making? 15 this year?
14.
This year.
1 year deal.
Add 30 to that.
Yeah,
at least 30.
And a couple extra years.
Yeah, add at least 30 to that. And so yeah, you could. Damn. Good
yeah,
for him.
I saw that pointed out this morning. I hadn't thought about it like that. I was like, oh yeah, that's full on. Like vote of confidence for Daniel Jones.
Yes.
Like, yeah, we're good. Are you sure? I mean, I don't know. It's only 9 games.
It's been working out.
It has.
It's been working out.
Other teams have done it.
It worked out. Sam Darnold. Yes.
It's happened. You're right. Geno.
Yes.
I don't know. They haven't done it yet. They haven't signed him.
Right.
Yet, but they have to now.
Yeah, man. Oh no. I mean, I think that Richardson's days are numbered.
Anthony Richardson.
Yeah, I think his days are numbered.
I think they're done.
Right? Yeah, they're done. And now you're in a situation where you got this quarterback who, you know, it helps to have him on that salary because you're able to add things and add parts to it. But once that salary goes up,
That's always the.
What was Sam Darnold's contract?
With the Seahawks, yeah. I think it was actually pretty good.
Like
very front loaded.
I think they'll use that his contract as something for Daniel
Jones. I think
Jones.
Darnold's essentially was a 1 year you could get out of it pretty easily after this year. Now he's balling.
Yes.
So they don't have to worry, but he might get an extension after this season the way that he's playing. But anyway, we'll get back to the Falcons as the show goes on, obviously. And if we get any information about injury designation and stuff like that, we will of course let you know. And Smoking Joe Patrick's gonna join us in the 1 o'clock hour as he always does. Let's mention a couple of these bits of coaching news. Obviously, Atlanta United bringing back Tata Martino.
Second time around.
Championship-winning manager for the inaugural couple of years.
He's still wearing a black jumpsuit?
Sometimes.
Okay.
You know, you never know with a manager. Sometimes they'll have a suit on, and then the next game they'll have a tracksuit on.
Okay.
And then sometimes it'll be a t-shirt. You never know. But he's back. That's good. Hopefully it works out the way that it did last time. And the Braves have parted ways with Rick Kranitz.
Really surprised.
Pitching coach Rick Kranitz and third base coach Freddie Gonzalez. They're bringing in Jeremy Hefner to be the new pitching coach. He was with the Mets. And by all accounts, and neither you or I are going to sit here and say we knew this, but by all accounts, he's one of the hot up-and-coming pitching coaching minds in baseball. So to get him is great.
Okay. I mean, if you feel like it's an upgrade to what you're doing or what you had here, I'm all for it. They got a new hitting coach, everything, right? So, I mean, why? Did they get a new hitting coach? Who's the other guy? I thought they got another guy from the Mets.
Now, Chipper has said he's going to be
more involved. I know Chipper said he was going to be in it.
Oh, they got the first base coach.
That's what it was. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. But that's what I'm saying. They took him from the Mets.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you're updating on that. And then you were talking, I don't know if we said it on air, that that Chipper was going to – he said that he was going to have a more hands-on approach. I don't know if it's going to be one of the things where he's going to be every day around or something like that.
Home stands
and everything like that. All right, cool. Cool. I mean, that's what everybody's been asking for, you know, and hopefully it works and helps. But the biggest thing for this team, hopefully, is stay damn healthy. Mm-hmm. Let's just stay healthy, and we'll go on and figure out from there.
I really do think everything will work itself out if that happens.
Yeah.
Like all the tweaks and coaching and change and all that stuff.
Yes.
You get this roster healthy for the majority of 162, you're going to win about 100 games, and you're going to have a really good chance in the playoffs.
I believe that.
But you also have to – there's two healthies. I need two healthies. Healthy as much as you can for the regular season, and then very healthy for the playoffs.
Yes.
Because that's what screwed them the couple years before. I mean, last year was just a disaster from beginning to end. But the years before that where they won a lot of games, and then they were just devastated injury-wise by the time October came around.
But they're in a situation where they got glaring holes, definitely a shortstop. They got to find another starting pitcher. Mm-hmm. They got to find a closer.
No, I agree.
They got to find a closer. We were talking because I saw that, you know, people are interested in Iglesias, including the Braves. Do you bring him back to be a closer, or do you try to find another guy to fit that role? And is that guy out there?
I'm sure there's guys out there.
I mean, yeah. Diaz.
Where's the guy in the organization already?
Who are you talking about?
Spencer Strider.
I don't know if that ship sailed, man.
I know that's not going to happen right now.
Well, it might.
I know it's not going to happen right now.
Someday.
But I just
referring to Hurston Waldrop, though.
Oh, okay. Got it.
Okay. Okay. All right.
Okay.
I was just thinking.
Strider makes $20 million.
I know. Well, some coaches make $20 million.
Not on the Braves.
Also, Diaz is out there. We just got their pitching coach.
Diaz? Yeah. Exactly. Diaz?
Oh, good. I didn't think about that.
Good point. Remember, I said, dog, you want to get
Diaz? Well, you did, but we didn't know we had their pitching coach.
There
yet.
We go, Dad.
You know who the Mets just recently added to their staff of coaches?
Yeah, Snickers.
Where the Braves
Snickerson.
Were like, yeah, take that. Yeah. Yeah. Troy Snicker.
Troy Snicker. Yeah. I think he's a sleeper agent.
Da, 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 da.
I think you got to be careful with that, Turner. A lot of people think Terry Fontenot's one of them.
And I'll say what I always say to that. There's still not enough evidence to disprove it.
Yes. They're not winning.
They haven't had a winning season yet. So there's still not enough evidence against it.
Hey, Sports Talk with the Game is presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much, but you can always count on Sundays. With the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus, watch your local NFL games every Sunday all season long via visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL.
As if anybody needs to be a sleeper agent to submarine the Mets. They do it to themselves.
Yeah.
Every single year. Never mind. What are you going to say?
Pete Alonso was a DH?
I would love that.
Pete Alonso was a DH?
Love Pete Alonso. All the guy does is hit bombs. Bring
Platoon
him,
first baseman?
Bring him to me. Nah, man, we got a gold glove first baseman over there. Let him be DH. I'll DH him. All right. We'll come back on a Trillville Thursday. Thanks for being with us. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
That's what it was.
It must be basketball season.
Yes.
I watched him play last night.
Dude, he yammed all on Rudy Gobert last night.
Man, they beat the absolute brakes off the Wolves
just
last night.
Yammed on them.
For those that don't know, Karl Anthony Towns had a good game last night. That's what we're talking about.
Yes. Yes.
If you're new to the program, that's what Karl Anthony Towns sounds like when he dunks. They beat the hell out of the Timberwolves last night, man. 137-114. I caught a little bit like the first quarter and a half of the late game between the Spurs and the Lakers. I don't know. I want to say anybody figured anything out or whatever, but they're just throwing double teams at Wemby when he crosses half court now, and it's worked.
Yeah.
The teams have kind of held him in check the last couple games. They've lost two in a row. They lost to the Lakers last night, and they lost to the Suns, I think.
Why wouldn't
I? A couple of nights ago. Yeah, just throw double teams at him and see if we can make him uncomfortable.
Yeah, but play him like they played, remember how they guard Calvin Johnson? Just like that.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, just bit. Two right. Dudes, y'all just vice him.
If he figures out the two, send a third at
yeah,
him.
Man, I'm going to do that too, man. But, looks like Luka's balling.
Yeah, Luka's doing pretty good.
Yeah, he's doing all right.
He's averaging like 40 points a game, and it's so funny and so dumb when stuff like this happens in sports. It happens in basketball pretty frequently, it seems like. Where it's like a guy's really good, and then he starts to take his off-the-court stuff seriously.
Yes.
And then he takes it to another level.
Yes.
It's like, well, yeah, of course.
I mean, he's
what
great.
You think was going to happen?
He's great out of shape. Imagine what he looks like in shape.
He went to the NBA Finals, like, huffing and puffing red-faced.
Exactly.
Now he's out there. I mean, he does. He looks different. You can tell that he went about his offseason very differently, clearly.
Yeah.
It's the smooth 35-13-9 last night, no problem. You see what Russell Westbrook did last night?
Yeah, he's all-time leading rebounder. It's for guards.
He had another triple-double and a win, 23-16-10. Vintage Russ last night.
They don't know this. They don't know this, but Russ is going for the MVP.
They don't know that. Russ does.
You heard what I said? They don't know that. they don't know that, but yeah, Russ
thought he was going to be the MVP coming off the bench last
night.
Hell
yeah. Russ, you can't, and that's what I love about Russ, is that right there. Russ has no gives up.
No, yeah. Russ's mentality is that he's the same guy that he was 10 years ago.
Yes, Russ don't give a damn.
When he won the MVP.
I shot up three crazy shots to end the game in the fourth quarter. We lost by three, but you know what?
Next time they're going in.
Yep. that's exactly.
Because here's two things I know. He thinks that, and next time they're going up, Like, they're going up.
Oh, yeah. He's not going to shy away.
And now he plays for the Kings, so who cares? Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, you might as well.
Sacramento Kings.
Who else is going to shoot it? You know what I mean? Drew Eubanks? Yeah, right. Give me the ball. I'm getting
Is he the one with the weird hair?
They all have weird hair, don't they?
Yeah, that is true.
I mean, they're starting five last night. Westbrook, DeRozan, Dennis Schroeder, Neek Clifford, and Drew Eubanks.
Damn.
Wow.
Who's their head coach?
Tough times. I don't know.
Okay. But Rick
Adelman.
Light the beam, baby.
No.
Light the beam.
The beam has been dimmed.
Light the beam. I saw this yesterday, and and I'm not going to say who the guy was, but he just got 100 years knocked off his prison sentence. He murdered somebody, right? Hmm. And now his release date is set for 2075 instead of his previous release date of 2184.
Huh. What did he do to do that?
He pow-pow somebody. Oh. My thing is, like, do you feel...
No. I mean, how did he get 100 off?
I don't know. Would you feel good if you had 100 years off sentence but still don't get out of 2075?
So that's 50 years from now, right?
Yeah.
How old is he?
It looks like he's about 40.
So he might make
it. He might make it.
He was never going to make the other one.
No.
Unless he got technology, man. You never know. Unless he
upload that consciousness.
He got in touch with Brady and started cloning his... organs and stuff.
Brady is going to clone himself.
No, I don't think he's going to clone himself, because that would mean that he didn't live forever.
Right.
He needs to be the one that does.
Something's going to...
No, he's going to clone himself so he can harvest his own organs.
Something. It's going to be something. It's going to be another Tom Brady.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
But he's going to be like... he's going to be like Frankenstein.
Yes.
He's just going to be on the table just growing human organs.
And maybe he could come back and get his woman back.
So anytime... Well, that's what he's doing. He's biding his time.
Yeah.
So when Joaquin's older, he can beat
him up.
Whip
his ass.
But yeah, no, like, you know, Brady, what's he, almost 50 now?
Yeah.
I don't know what one goes bad first, but as soon as, like, he needs a new liver, bang.
Yeah, man.
Clone's got him a liver.
I just see it, dude. I'm sorry, but yeah.
He's keep that guy in the lab plugged in. Oh, I need a new... lung? Awesome. Get that new lung, and it's my own one. Yeah, I don't need a donor.
But that's what I'm saying.
Don't have to make sure it's a match. It's a match. It's me.
What's coming? What else is coming out of that lab? I'm pretty sure they got some freaky deaky stuff going on in that lab.
Yeah, definitely.
Definitely.
Definitely. Okay. Yes. So there's people like Brady that are obsessed with living forever and health and all that stuff. And then there's, you know, people are going to make sex clones.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Like, it's all about, and then they're going to charge an arm and a leg for everything. I like that thing. An arm and a leg. But
you get more than just an arm and a leg.
It's going to get freaky.
Unless you have a very specific fetish.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I saw a show where a dude married his car and said they're very intimate.
Huh.
I was like, huh?
Interesting.
Yeah. He married his car. It was looked like a typical guy that when you see him, looks like, yeah.
He was probably driving a 2008 Honda Element.
You never know, man.
He was like, me and my car were
intimate. I was like, you mean you're intimate in the car?
Yeah, I don't know.
No, he was saying they're intimate.
Mm-hmm. I think there's a lot of different like
weirdos.
There's a lot of different weirdos, but there's a lot of different outlets for them now.
Yeah.
Like, you can fall in love with AI.
Being weird ain't strange no more.
No, it's never been a better time to be.
No,
weird.
Yeah,
because now you can just hang out solo, get an AI girlfriend, do everything on, and just exist there in the metaverse, and not have to interact with us.
Yeah.
I know.
Amen, Adam.
I am. Why? Sucks. We shouldn't be allowed. Why? It was good when we were shaming weirdos.
Oh.
Society was better. Now we're run by dorks.
Yeah.
Dork overlords.
Well, you say that Apple and Facebook. And
everything. I better be quiet.
Yeah. Eventually they said this. We'll get you back. I know y'all stuffed us in lockers back in the day.
Not anymore.
Now
we're the locker.
Yeah, we are the locker. Have you been stuffed in a locker before?
No. Okay. You asked me that. This is the second time you've asked
me
that.
I know. That's what this makes
outrageously. Sure. No, I've never been stuffed in a locker.
Okay. Ever seen anybody?
I don't think so.
Oh.
I think
that's just an 80s movies myth.
Yeah. I mean, maybe it happened, but I've never seen. Yeah. I've seen
Did you guys
like
have full size lockers? At your high school or middle school?
No.
In high school?
High school, no. It was a top half, bottom half deal.
Like, Saved by the Bell, they'd shove Screech in like the full size.
Yeah,
in middle school, we had full size.
I think in middle school, in our school in Germany, we had full lockers.
Okay, I never had a full locker. Ours was always top or bottom. You're not fitting anyone in it. You're not fitting anyone in those things. You can barely put the books in there. They're so small.
Yeah, it's true.
You ever share a locker with a girl?
Never shared a locker with anybody.
Okay.
I mean, I kind of share a locker with a girl now.
I mean, yes, you're a woman.
Yeah,
But no, I was like in high school because, like, me and my brother Tobias, we shared
lockers. That's
locker,
what I call
but we
being
were in
married.
We were in different buildings, so that's why we shared lockers. We were in different buildings, so some of my classes were over, some of his classes were there. But yeah, that whole thing when dudes sharing lockers with their girl, I'm like, that's just weird. What do you think?
I guess
like,
it's
like y'all moving in together?
Right. That's like the middle school equivalent of moving, in,
moving
together.
In together.
You're really trying to show her
what she means. You want to move you want to move in my locker?
Hey, if you want, I'll give you my combination.
Yeah. I'll give you
unlocked my heart.
Oh Lord.
Now I'll let you unlock my locker.
Let's not do that.
There you go. That's why I was so smooth back in the day.
Unless you're like me, I'm the biggest plagiarizing love letter writer ever. So I done wrote so many love letters off greeting cards.
Who knew?
Yeah, who knows?
But again, that's the problem now too. They'll just Google it and find out. You get caught out.
But that's the thing about it is, dog. You
used to be able to lie
it.
Back in the day. Can't lie anymore. Everybody gets fact checked all the time. That's hurting nobody more than I'm sure many like dads and grandpas. But my dad was the number one guy in terms of just making stuff up.
Why wouldn't you want to believe that though?
I did. It was great.
No, I'm saying
it was
that,
so much
but
more
that's why,
fun.
Remember what I said last week when dirt was dirt. And now it's got to be something else.
Right.
You know, yeah. Like, why can't we just have a simple time when it's fun? Why everything got to be Googled and fact checked now?
Let me check that.
Dinosaurs really weren't here.
Well, you also know, like, sometimes you'll say something and you can see somebody pulling their phone up, and I'm like, that person's fact checking me in real time.
Dude.
Why are you doing that?
But my thing is, like, why? Why can't we?
What if I'm wrong? The story was better.
Sometimes it's all about the story.
Yeah, exactly.
But
right.
These damn dorks.
See, I'm talent. That's what I'm saying. I'm saying it was better when we were allowed. Anyway, this hour is brought to you by Bobby Jones Golf Course Atlanta. Golf open to everyone. Visit BobbyJonesGC.com. Mentioned a little bit of the results from last night's games. Some fun games played in the NBA last night. Hawks off to a 4-4 start. They've won a couple in a row now. And Trey's going to be out for a while.
Yeah,
I mean, that's such
call it what it is.
It's such an unfortunate storyline to start this season. A, for the team, with all the new players that were going to take a month or so plus to kind of figure it out and hopefully start playing to their potential, that's all on pause now. Like, you have to add however long Trey's out, start the clock again when he's in there because, I mean, he's such a specific player. Everything is different when he's in the offense.
Yes.
So all of that starts over when he comes back. The other thing, and, you know, I don't know how much this plays into his urgency to get back. I don't know how much this has anything to do with any of it. But in order to get the Supermax contract that Trey seeks, he needs to be an All-NBA player.
Yes.
And in order to qualify for All-NBA, you have to play 65 games.
Correct.
So that means you can only miss 17 games.
Correct.
And he's already missed how many? Three now?
Yes.
So, I mean,
there's a possibility that he won't get there.
Yeah. Like, he might be out of contention for that. Before New Year, before we even get there. So again, I know there's a lot of other motivators and factors and stuff like that, but you're crazy if you don't think that was a part of the motivation coming into this year for Trey, who wanted a contract.
Yes.
And said he was disappointed that he didn't get one.
Yes.
Okay. The silver lining is if I ball out and get a third team, second team, first team, all NBA nod, then I can get even more. So that's what you're trying to do. And now that might be off the table too. That's tough.
Yeah, man. I think that's when we talk about like, how, first of all, the all NBA, the ability to get max money because of voters is still the raggedest crap ever in life.
I agree.
But he's in a position where, like you said, he can up his value.
I also think, like, I don't know, I think the minimum on games when it's a legitimate injury sucks too.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, because you have guys rushing back.
Yeah.
It's
designed to prevent load management, which is fine.
But that's the thing about it. But if it's a legit injury, like Trey's is, then that's the unfortunate part about it that goes with the whole load management and all those different things, because that's why Adam Silver put this thing in, because one thing players want is they money. And for the most part, the guys who are eligible for Supermax and stuff are the guys who load manage the most.
You know, yeah, exactly.
And so you want to try
seventh
to
seventh guy on the bench doesn't get
the load
manage.
Know what I mean?
Yeah.
So you're trying to get, you know, you're trying to get that out of the game, whatever. But I think, you know, if you're Trey, and I don't, you know, from everything I know about Trey, he's a hell of a competitive dude. And he wants to be out there. And if he has an opportunity to – because one thing you don't look at it, and I don't think the Hawks would do this. I would never accuse them of doing it, is them slow playing an injury.
No, they wouldn't do that.
They wouldn't do that.
They wouldn't do that.
And so now
I think if anything, he's going to rush back.
And that's where the next thing I was going. And you don't want that to happen, because that can only lead to continuously things are messing up.
Then it's a really bad
injury. Then you're hurting the team more than you're helping the team. So yeah, we'll keep an eye on it. But yeah, it looks like he's going to be out at least the rest of this month.
Yeah, I mean, they said they'd reevaluate
in 4 weeks. What he is as far as his quickness, his ability to go by people. I mean, you got to be whole to do that, because I just talking in football's terms, you can't be small and slow, you know. And he is an explosive offensive juggernaut who uses his quickness and everything to get past people. Well, you got to let yourself heal so you can get that done.
Yeah. The other part of it that's going to be not fun over the next month or so is I still think they're talented enough to do pretty well, even without Trey in there.
Right.
And that just hasn't really been true over the course of his career. I know there was that stretch a couple years ago where he got hurt at the end of the year and DeJounte was playing point guard and they were like one game over 500, but it was like, I think by the end of the year, they ended two or three games under 500, but they weren't playing well. They weren't a better team. They were a little bit better defensively, and they played very differently offensively, much slower. They're not a better team without him either, but they're a better team than they've been in a long time.
Right.
And I think with him out, with Alexander Walker kind of now in that role in the starting lineup and the depth that they have on the bench and just how well they're going to be able to defend with that five, mm-hmm. I still think they can win games.
They can sneak some wins. Yeah. Andy, I'm not going to say sneak. They can win some games.
Yeah.
They can win some games.
I wouldn't be surprised if they're above 500 when Trey gets
me
back.
Me either. But that's what I'm saying. I hate to say sneak. They can win some games.
Yeah, no, because they're because you're legitimately your
defense,
good.
Your defense is going to be
or at least
better.
Pretty good.
Your defense is going to be better. Now, the biggest thing is you can't lose nobody else. You can't lose another one of these dudes, man. Jalen Johnson is playing his ass off. But that's what happens the last 2 years when he's playing his ass off. Something goes wrong. You can't lose him. Porzingis, if you got to manage more, you manage it. But those two dudes, Porzingis and him, they gotta stay whole. Gotta stay whole. And Dyson Daniels continue to do well on the offensive side, too. That helps out a lot.
They're just so frustrating defensively.
Yes.
When that's the five, when it's Nickeil Alexander-Walker with the other starters, perimeter defense is really, really good. It's the first time we've said that about this team in a long time. It's nice to see. Offense hadn't been good yet. Hopefully they kind of get that cleaned
work
up.
Out some kinks.
I'm sure they will. All right, we'll come back. We'll get to an NFL no huddle to kick off the noon hour. Thanks for being with us. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.